This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Okay, take me to the book of Joel, one of the three-chapter book in the Old Testament, one of the, you know, commonly is called the Minor Prophet. We're going to start a 15, 16, you know, depends. We probably won't stretch to 20 weeks, but about 15, 16 of this series of the very book of Joel, probably one of the most important and relevant book in the hour they are living in. So today I'm going to explain to you why we need to study the book of Joel. There's such a crucial need for us to understand the book of Joel. Because if we believe that we are living in the generation that Jesus is returning, this is such an important and relevant book, because this book answers many crucial pastoral questions, and more than that, give us the clearest answer in how shall we live, how do we prepare, because this is one of the most important questions in such a time as this, because we need to know with certainty, we need to know with confidence and conviction what God is saying, and how should we prepare ourselves, because it's going to be vital. Because Isaiah 60 verse 1 and 2 describe the unique dynamic that we will face as we more and more approaching to the second coming of Jesus. Because Isaiah 60 makes it very clear, it's going to be both positive and negative. You know, many times people preach either extreme. Either everything is going to be better, or either everything is going to be bad. You know, but the reality is that it's both. It's going to be positive as well as negative. There's going to be a greatest revival that's going to hit the surface of this earth. The Church of Jesus Christ is going to live in our finest hour. If we understand, if we prepare ourselves, if we cooperate with the very grace of God, yet on the other extreme, we're going to face the most challenging time, you know, most turbulence are coming and so on. Like last 2 years, we've been talking about storm is going to come, you know. That's why I keep saying that it will not get better, but we can get stronger. We can burn hotter in our heart. We can shine brighter. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. I'm not going to turn to it because it's a very familiar verse in this house, but I will challenge you, encourage you that to read about this two verses, because Isaiah talks about light is going to get brighter, darkness is going to get darker, with no shadow of doubt. So many people always ask me, you know, Kee Chong, is it going to be better or is it going to be worse? You know, it's going to be both. You know, that's the unique dynamic at the end of the age. That's why this book is so vital, because it will prepare the church to be ready for what is about to come. Because last 2 years, the Lord is really speaking to us through Psalms 2 and also Luke 21, where it's so clear. It's like setting the stage. You know, last 2 years, God is setting the stage. Not that it's like kind of like started last 2 years. No, he has always been progressing or digressing, depending on how you want to see it. You know, progressing in terms of glory, digressing in terms of darkness. But it's always been happening, but more and more is escalating. Yeah, if you are looking for, looking at what is happening around the world, whether it's the church, whether it's sin, whether it's many issues, morality, truth, so on and so on, you are seeing that crisis is escalating. That's why 2 years ago, we talked about the Psalms 2 crisis, the rage of the nation. Nation more and more are turning away from God, and worse, nation more and more are turning against God. One of the examples is the morality issues. We are not at the fullness of Psalms 2 crisis yet, but we are raising towards there. I mean, no one knows. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, we will not know the precise and specific time where this is going to happen, but we can roughly know the Bible, because the Bible makes it very clear that the generation who see Jesus return will know the time and season that we are living in. So 2 years ago, we spent much time talking about Psalms 2 crisis, where we are actually raising towards there really fast. You know, for the last few years, especially 2 years ago, was really a watershed year where everything turns for the negative. That's why last year we primarily talked about Luke 21, both talking about the distress of nations. We are literally seeing the distress of nations in many fronts. And thank God, in Luke 21, verse 34, all the way to verse 38, Jesus give us the key to take heed. More than just taking heed, some of the storm that is going to hit our heart. But he give us two vital keys to watch and pray. To watch and pray. That's why this book is so important, because Joel is like, the book of Joel is like giving us an extended version of what it means to watch and pray, both individually as well as corporately. It's the requirement for both aspects. Individually, there's a requirement to prepare. But corporately, there is a requirement for us to come together to prepare. That's why this book is so, so vital, because it's going to prepare the church to be ready for what is about to come. No, I don't want to just emphasize on the negative, because a lot of time we can unconsciously overemphasize on the negative. The key is not overemphasize on the negative or both or positive. I think the key is we need to talk about both the positive as well as the negative. Because I'm not a doom and gloom preacher, no. I'm just being honest. I just thought telling the truth of what is about to happen. But the reality is that this book will prepare ourselves to be ready for what is about to come. The greatest revival, the Joel 2 revival. You know, what we witness in Acts chapter 2 and all the revival in church history is only but down payment. Foreshadow of what is about to come. There's many people ask me, what are you praying for? I'm not praying for a revival. I'm praying for the revival, the Joel 2 revival. The greatest revival is about to hit the surface of this earth. The vital question is, are we ready? Are we aware? Are we even prepared? Of course, the second thing is the unprecedented crisis, the coming storm. The coming storm. It's not going to be a walk in the park. Many assume that we will naturally prevail. The Bible doesn't teach us it that way. Bible teaches very clearly that the people of God need to prepare ourselves. One of the great prophecies about end time is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul prophesied about the great falling away. Because there will be great battlefront in all front. If we do not prepare ourselves, many will fall away, because it's going to be one of the greatest storms. That's why Jesus in Luke 21 makes it very clear, so that we can stand. We can stand on this coming storm. Not just standing on this coming storm, but we can save others too. We can burn and we can shine, which is what John the Baptist is all about. John 5:35. Jesus is looking for a burning and a shining lamp. That's why I keep saying, it will not get better. If you are assuming that it will get better, we're going to pray that it will get better. The Bible doesn't teach us it that way. The answer is not, or rather the question is not whether we'll get better or not. The issue is we have to get stronger. The issue is we have to burn hotter in our heart. The issue is we have to shine brighter. We will overcome. We shall prevail. That's why this book is such a vital book, because it gives us the clearest message in the entire Bible. Two questions. If at the end of this 14, 15, 16 weeks you forget everything, you just need to remember these two questions, and you can answer these two questions. More than just answer so that you get a degree. No, the idea is not about getting a degree. The idea is so that your heart will be hot. If you can answer this two questions and pursue to live out these two questions, how then shall we live? Is probably one of the most important questions. The second question is, what then shall we say? God need a voice. God needs a voice to say what is in his heart. That's why last week we talked about God needs a voice. God needs the friends of the bridegroom. God needs a shepherd in accordance to his own heart so that we will agree with him in prayer. We will speak what is in God's heart. More importantly, we will prepare the church. Okay. This is the two most important questions that is clearly answered by the three chapter book in the book of Joel, because this book primarily is an instruction manual to prepare and to make sense of what is about to happen. Okay, if we are wise, you know, we talk about being a house of wise and watchful. If we are wise, take this book seriously. Open up this book, you know, and watch, inverted comma. Open up this book, like right, Revelation chapter 10 says, eat the scroll. Don't literally eat it. That means study this book. Open up your heart and pray that God will grant revelation so that the word will come and mark our heart that we understand. It's so, so vital. Okay, let me just share with you three objective or three goals that I have as we go through this book of Joel, because this is so important. Last year we did extreme time, extreme measure. So I make a deal with God and with people who came for that one day seminar that I'm going to be committed to teach through this book, because this book is so vital. But there are three. I have three goals. The first one is this: to understand the heart of God through the book of Joel. To understand the heart of book through the book of Joel. No, we have to go beyond more than Bible study. No, Bible study is good. But if Bible study, all we get is knowledge in our mind, is useless. I love what Leonard Ravenhill say. A message, if it's conceived in our mind, will only touch the mind. A message has to be conceived in our heart so that it will burn in our heart. So we have to go beyond just Bible study, you know, or more than just knowing the book of Joel. The goal at the end of the day is to know the heart of God in the midst of coming crisis through the book of Joel. Got it? Through this book, we understand the heart of God, what he is actually saying, what he is thinking, what he desired to do. What time is this? What is about to happen? Because the book of Joel, together with book of Revelation, Daniel, and a few book that pertaining to end time prophecy, give us with clarity what is about to come, so that we can make sense of what is happening. So the number one goal and objective is to understand the heart of God through the book of Joel. I always say this, I have no desire to know or to be the expert of the Bible. Okay, you say, are you even biblical? No, wait, let me finish this first. My desire is to know God and his heart, what he's saying through the Bible. So over the years, I have no desire to be an expert in the Bible. I have a desire to be an expert in the heart of God through the Bible. That's the key. That's the reason why I study the Bible, is to know what God is saying, what is in his heart. So I pray that as we run through the book of Joel, may we encounter the very heart of God. What he is saying. One of the good verse to pray as we open up the book of Joel is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, where Paul prayed for the church of Thessalonica, may the word of the Lord will run swiftly. I pray that this 15, 16 week, or even in your own personal time, as you open up the book of Joel, may the word of God come like fire, like hammer, that will strike and mark our heart so that we encounter him. We encounter his heart, that we will be like, Kok Leong's favorite verse, Jeremiah 20. Like fire that shut up in our bones, that we can't contain it, we can't stop, but we have to say, we have to sing. And so on, so that people know. So the first goal is to understand the heart of God. Second, to me, is the most important. How then shall we live? How then shall we live? How we should respond? How we should prepare ourselves? What does God require of his people? This is so important, because at the end of the day, if we know everything and we don't respond, that's not called wisdom. The Bible calls it foolishness. Ignorance is if you don't know what to do. You don't know what God is saying. Wisdom is you know what God is saying and you respond and you prepare in accordance to His way. Foolishness is when you know, yet you did not do anything about it. Bible talks a lot about foolishness. So the second goal is that so that we know how to live, how to prepare ourselves. This is so, so vital. Third one. So every one of you are here, so you know already. So it's either foolishness or wisdom. Third one. Be the voice of God. Be the voice. Because God needs a voice to speak with clarity. God needs a voice to speak with clarity. God needs a shepherd to go after the very people of God to prepare. That's why last week talked about Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to verse 38. Jesus looked at his sheep. He feels intensely because they are unprepared. They are being harassed. So he said, the prayer is pray for laborers because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I mean, the language is different, but the context is the same. His people are not ready. So God said, I need the voice. I need the shepherd. You know. So be like, no, just write this down. I'm not going to turn to it. Be like prophet Ezekiel. Just write this down. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Be like prophet Ezekiel. You know. Immerse yourself in this book. Study and digest the message of the book of Joel thoroughly. That's why I like the language by Revelation 10, you know, where the angel came and gave Apostle John that little book. He said, eat the scroll. So don't literally eat it. Primarily means immerse yourself in this book. Study, meditate, digest this. That's why you eat it. You digest this book so that you encounter the very heart of God. You know His heart. You know, our favorite prayer. What are you saying, oh God? What are you feeling? What are you thinking? Basically, it's like Jeremiah 23. You stand in the counsel of God. You open up the book of Joel. Say, God, may you speak. So that my heart can perceive and understand. Let your word come forth and mark my heart. Let your word come forth and mark my heart. I want my heart to be marked. So be like Ezekiel. Be like Apostle John. Immerse ourselves in that book. Of course, it takes energy. It takes effort. It takes time. Because we are not going to understand if we don't give our time and energy and at the place of prayer, pressing in, standing in the counsel of God and open up the book of Joel, including many other books. We are not going to receive His heart. Even we receive, it's primarily superficial. But God needs people who understand. Not just understand. God needs people who their heart is marked by the word because they perceive and they encounter. Like Jeremiah 23, I think it's 28. The Lord said, or rather through prophet Jeremiah, a prophet has a dream. Say it. A prophet has a word. Say it. Because God needs a voice. Tell me the Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3 is so vital. Verse 1. What a word. Eat this scroll. Eat this scroll. Don't literally eat the Bible, okay? That's not what we are practicing, okay? For those who are hearing from the audio recording, that's not what we are practicing or what we advocate. Eat the scroll is a term, an allegorical term used to describe that we devote our time, our energy in studying, in immersing ourselves, in meditating, in digesting book, asking the Holy Spirit to cause the word to come alive, to mark our heart. That's what it means by eating the scroll. So if you do it literally, that's not wise. Okay. So that's the key thing. Listen to what Ezekiel said. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Eat this scroll. Eat this scroll. And verse 3, he said, fill your stomach with this scroll. That means fill your heart with the very word of God so that you understand. That's why the third goal is we need to understand this book so that we can arise to be His voice. Because the greatest crisis in human history is just around the corner. No, I'm not saying this lightheartedly. It is true. It is true. God needs His voice to stand, hear, understand, and speak. That's why this is so important. That's why we did that. Joe 2 Lifestyle Discipleship. I mean, causes money, causes energy. You have to come out with a video and so on and write the script, right? It's because this is so important. You know, we want to contribute that too much. People say, oh, it's such a little effort. It doesn't matter. Even that little two mites, it matters to God. It matters to God so that when something happens, people have somewhere to turn to make sense of what is happening and have some truth to anchor their heart so that they can stand. Because this is so important. No? I appreciate all the effort that we put in. Doesn't cost us a lot. It does cost us some money, but it doesn't cost us a lot. But the key is that God needs a voice. Okay. Okay, today. What I'm going to cover today, what a long introduction, not even an introduction. Okay. What I'm going to cover today is the importance of understanding the book of Joel. It's very important. I'm going to give you four or five reasons, okay, why we need to study the book of Joel. Okay, this Old Testament book, three chapters, you know, why we need to study this book. Then next week, I'm going to introduce to you this book of Joel. What is the book of Joel all about? You know, I'm going to run through briefly, give you the theme of the book, okay, the key verse, as well as the key word. The key word for the book of Joel is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Okay, I explain to you what is the day of the Lord. I'll give you a simple structure. Run through the entire book of Joel briefly next week so that we read and we can understand. Okay, so that prepare you for the next 15, 16 weeks. Okay, okay. The first question I'm going to start by asking is this. Why even study the book of Joel? One of the Old Testament minor prophets. Okay, I mean, in the Bible, you are divided in certain kinds of book, historical book, the first five book, Pentateuch. Okay, of course, Torah. Sorry, first five books of the Bible. Now, of course, there's historical book like Joshua, Judges, so on and so on. Then we have poetry, Psalms, Job, Ecclesiastes, Song of Song, Proverbs. Okay, then you have the prophetic book in the Old Testament. Major prophet and minor prophet. There are about 17 of them, okay? What's the difference between major prophet and minor prophet? Actually, it's very simple. Major prophet is longer. Minor prophet is short. No? Like Book of Joel is considered minor prophet because it's three chapters, okay? So the question is, why study the Book of Joel? What is the relevance of this book? Because if you read the Book of Joel, chapter 1, chapter 2, primarily it seems like it's history. Okay, chapter 1 is about past locust invasion upon the nation of Israel that totally destroyed the economy, or during those times, agriculture, totally wiped out their agriculture. So Israel was in serious economic crisis. But that happened around 600 BC. Okay, so what is relevant unto us? Past locust plague. Then if you go to chapter 2, Joel was prophesying about coming Nebuchadnezzar Babylonian invasion led by this Babylonian king called Nebuchadnezzar. And the book of Joel makes it very clear. God is the one who raised up King Nebuchadnezzar to discipline the nation of Israel. Wow, I seek to answer this slightly later. Because it's crucial for us to understand. But what is this event that happened in 586 BC relevant to the Church of Jesus Christ today? Just one short question. Then I'm going to give you a few reasons. If you want, you can write it down. The book of Joel is a biblical book that is uniquely designed to prepare the end time church for the tremendous drama at the end of the age. There's no one book that is clearer. That's why I say this is like an instruction manual for the Church of Jesus Christ in how to prepare. No one book answers clearer the questions of how then shall we live? Of course, no one book can totally explain everything. You need to study together with a few other books. But this book is uniquely designed to prepare the end time church for what is about to come. Greatest revival, greatest crisis. This is more than just a historical book. Yes, you know, this book, in a sense, is written for ancient nation of Israel, because this book was written about 600 BC. Okay, I'll explain to you, because there are different opinions. There are three main opinions about when this book is written. Is it really written by Prophet Joel? Okay, I'll explain to you next week. Okay, but this is more than just a historical book. It's a prophetic book. It's a prophetic book that reveals to us a powerful prophetic foreshadow of what is to come. Yes, the locust invasion has happened, 600 BC. The Babylonian invasion unto the nation of Israel that led to 70 years exile of the nation of Israel had happened. But you must understand, okay, much of what is written in the book of Joel is only partially fulfilled in the nation of Israel in Old Testament time. I will give you some principle. Most of the fulfillment, you know, Bible call it the full fulfillment or the ultimate fulfillment, will be in the generation that Jesus is returning. See, that's why you need to understand. It's a very vital principle to understand, especially pertaining to biblical end-time prophecy, especially in the Old Testament. Because there's a vital date that we have to understand. I'll explain to you again later. 586 BC, which is the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar army that totally destroyed nation of Israel. They went into exile for 70 years. That date is a vital date, because that date is a very important date for us to understand what is going to happen at the end of the age. What happened in 586 BC is a partial fulfillment. The fullest of the fulfillment is going to happen at the end of the age. God is using that as a foreshadow, as a prophetic picture of telling the end time church what happened in 586 BC is going to happen again at the end of the age. There was the king Nebuchadnezzar that invaded Israel. God is going to allow Antichrist to rise up at the end of the age. Again, to discipline the nation of Israel, to persecute the church, as well as to judge the nation. But eventually, God will judge Antichrist. That's why this is so important. It is so vital. This is not some historical book, but that. What happened in Joel is a prophetic foreshadow and a prophetic picture. We can learn a lot from it. And we can understand a lot what is about to happen. And more importantly, what Joel told the nation of Israel, how to respond, primarily in chapter 2, verse 12 to verse 17. If Israel would have responded, the whole crisis would have diverted. So God is giving us a very powerful principle. If we respond, we can do something to stop it or to minimize it. That is the key thing in the book of Joel, called the perhaps of God. Perhaps I will relent. Perhaps I will change my mind. Okay, there are about 17 prophetic books in the Old Testament. We call it the major and minor prophet. These are some information that is important for you, because you want to study this and understand this is very important. There are about 17 prophetic books, you know, starting from Isaiah, ending with Malachi. They are divided into major, minor prophet. There are about 17 prophetic books, okay, with the exception of three books: Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. 17, okay, from Isaiah all the way to Malachi, only with the exception of three books: Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. All were written with the Babylonian invasion in 586 BC with twofold fulfillment. Partial, which happened in 586 BC as a warning of the coming Babylonian invasion. And the full fulfillment, a prophetic picture of the future judgment of God. All major prophet and minor prophet will make no sense if you don't understand this principle. Because it's no longer a prophetic book if we subscribe to that believes that everything has been happened. Let's say the book of Joel. Everything has been happened. No. That is the biblical principle, especially pertaining to 586 BC, the Nebuchadnezzar invasion. That is a partial fulfillment. Or Prophet Joel will call it near fulfillment, which has happened in 586 BC. But there is the ultimate fulfillment, the full fulfillment or the far fulfillment at the end of the age. That's why this book is so important. Much of that, that was talked about in this book has not been fully fulfilled yet. But God gave this book and all the major prophet and minor prophet where they talks about the Babylonian invasion to help us make sense of what is going to come. And this, all the major prophet and minor prophet will not make sense if we do not interpret and understand in this context. That is that partial fulfillment. That is that full fulfillment. Say together, 586 BC. One more time. 586. It was a big deal. No. This date is important for every student of eschatology. What a big word there. No. Every student who wants to understand what is going to happen in end time and what God is saying. Because what happened in 586 BC is a prophetic foreshadow of what is about to happen and how God will respond. It is vital. It is vital. Say one more time. 586 BC. The most important date for every student of eschatology. When I say student of eschatology, I'm not talking about so that we can pass exam and so on. It's that you understand the heart of God. When I use the term student of song or student of revelation, I'm not just talking about knowing cognitively. I'm talking about you need to know in your heart. This is a vital date. If you don't understand this date, you don't understand this principle, much of major prophet and minor prophet do not make sense. If you read the book of Isaiah, it will not make sense. You know that book of Isaiah is primarily about God's coming judgment as far as millennial kingdom. Much of what Isaiah prophesied on is not going to happen in this age. It only happen after Jesus returned, like Isaiah, is it Isaiah 12? Isaiah 11, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord came. I mean, that's where you know children were play with viper and lion with each straw, cubs and cubs is young lions lah. Okay, cubs and bears and whatever, and cattle and sheep will play together. It's going to happen in this age. Yeah, we see some cute video where sheep was fed by lion. Then eventually, lion eat the sheep. No, that's my own story. Okay, much of what is going to happen, much of what is being talked about in the book of Isaiah is not going to happen in our age. It's in the millennial kingdom. And also that we need to understand this vital principle. If not this, all the major prophet and minor prophet does not make sense at all. Even Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi is prophesying about what is about to come. That's what it is about. If not, you know, we can throw away all the major prophet, minor prophet. I call this the centerpiece of Old Testament theology in understanding God's judgment. There are two events that is crucial for us to understand what is going to happen and how God is going to deal with Israel, the people of God, as well as nations. There are two centerpieces of Old Testament theology that is very vital, centered around two events. One, of course, is 586 BC, the Babylonian invasions. The Babylonian invasion. It will help us to understand judgment of God. Why God is going to judge. How He is going to judge. How can we respond? The first one, 586 BC, okay. Babylonian invasion. The second is the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. the book of Exodus, another centerpiece of end time theology, basically give us a powerful prophetic picture of how God will deliver Israel and the church in end time. What God did through Moses and the 10 plagues is a powerful prophetic picture of what God is going to do at the end of the age, is revealed and manifested through the book of Revelation. The seal, the bow, or no, the seal, the trumpets, the bow. All the seven seals and seven bows is a powerful reflection of the 10 plagues in Egypt. That's why these two events is very important. I want to lay out so that when you read the book of Joel, you understand much partially has been fulfilled, but much of it has not been fulfilled. The fullness of the fulfillment will be in the generation that Jesus is returning. If we believe that we are living in the generation that Jesus is returning, much of it, or rather the fullness of it, will be fulfilled within our lifetime. That means we better fasten our seatbelt and prepare ourselves, because it's going to be exciting. It's going to be glorious if we prepare. It's going to be challenging. Challenging is an understatement word. It's going to be challenging if we are not ready. That's why God is raising up voices all over nations. Why? To warn, to make sense, to speak, to prepare. It is so, so vital. Because, you know, if you read the book of Joel, chapter 2, prophesy about God is going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Hasn't happened in books 2. No, not books 2. Acts 2. What is books 2? Which is book 2? Books 2, Exodus. Okay, yeah, first one in Genesis. Hasn't happened in Acts 2. No, Acts 2 is only a down payment, a prophetic foreshadow of what is going to happen. If you read Joel 2 prophecy, God is going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Not just in that region where 3,000 people saw that 120 people got slain by the Spirit and began to speak in tongues. That is only a down payment. That's why I always say this. You know, what happened in Acts 2 is God poured. No, what happened in Acts 2 is the local outpouring of the Holy Spirit as a result of a local upper room prayer meeting. The fullness of it in Joel 2 is going to be that global outpouring of the Holy Spirit as a result of the global upper room prayer meetings. That's why God is raising up houses of prayer of all nations. We are like an upper room, happen to be on the sixth floor. If your ground floor counts too. The key, I'm not talking about your upper room or lower room. The key is that God is raising up prayer. What, one of the main reasons is we are tearing and praying for the Joel 2 revival. The revival is only a partial fulfillment. Okay. Give you a bit more. Things about the book of Joel. Three chapter book. Turn with me to chapter 2, verse 11. Three chapter book that give us an intricately connected message for the greatest hour and the greatest crisis in all human history. Unprecedented. No, I'm not overusing the word unprecedented. It's going to be unprecedented. There will be an unprecedented global shakings that will affect nations. We are seeing it right now. We are seeing it right now. Which is Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 9. It's one of the prophecy that's happening right now. God said, one more time, I'm going to shake heaven, earth. It's talking about seven arena. One of it is nations. We are only seeing the beginning of the beginning. And of course, more than just unprecedented global shaking, there's going to be an unprecedented global outpouring. Turn me to Joel 2, verse 11. The key verse of the entire book. I call it the questions of the hour. The most relevant and the most important questions that every one of us has to answer. I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. Everyone has to answer this question. It's called, who can endure? The greatest crisis is about to come. The greatest glory is about to come. Who can endure? Can I endure? Can you endure? Remember, I begin by saying that we are entering the unique dynamic of human history where glory is going to increase, darkness is going to increase. Light will get brighter, darkness will get darker. It's both extreme. Joel 2:11 makes it very clear. Great and very terrible day of the Lord. And Joel asks these most important and relevant questions right now. The questions of the hour. I mean, for Kichong, there are many questions of the hour. But this is one of the questions of the hour. Who can endure? Can you endure? Can I endure? We cannot assume. One of the great mistakes of the body of Christ is that we assume everybody will be automatically ready. The Bible doesn't teach us it that way. There's a requirement for us to prepare. Prepare is not earning it. Prepare is you are setting your heart posture to receive what God desires to give us. Let's read Joel 2 verse 11. I have no time to run through today, but if you read entire Joel 2, 1, verse 1 to 11, Prophet Joel makes it very clear. God is the one who raised up the Nebuchadnezzar army to discipline Israel. I'll tell you slightly later. Do you know this is a very powerful divine and biblical principle of how God will discipline his people as well as how God will judge nation. He does. Not just allow. I'm going to use the correct word. If you read it carefully, God not just allowed, he raised up. Wow. If we have no greed of that principle, we all will be offended. We will be easily offended because that's where there are four common emotions that's going to hit the surface of this earth when this whole thing begins. One of it is offense. We will be offended with God. Because one of the questions that we're going to ask is, how can you, God of love, kindness, mercy, goodness, allow such thing to happen? That's what Habakkuk is all about. I know I'll run through a little bit later. Let's read Joel 2, verse 11. The Lord gave voice before... Remember last time, when I was younger, we have a campus ministry. We believe that we are end time army. God, are you in the camp? Not yet. So you are not wrongly taught. Angel, yes. Sarah, too, and quite a few. I used Joel 2, verse 1 to 10 as the theme of the camp, raising up the end time army. Didn't realize that actually that's not referring to the end time army, that's referring to Babylonian army. So I repent, and then I did not understand better. Thank God, I didn't record any of my teaching then, so that people don't call me a cow. Okay, let's go to verse 11. The Lord gave voices. The Lord gives voices before his army with no shadow of a doubt, with no apology. What is this army? It's referring to verse 1 to verse 11, verse 10. The Babylonian army that God raised. If you read consistently, many of the prophetic books, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, so on and so on, they prophesy and they warn the nation of Israel. Israel, if you do not turn, God is going to discipline you. There's an army is coming from the north. Jeremiah is kind of like scary. I've been reading Jeremiah. Come to the point, Jeremiah, the kings of Judah went to Jeremiah and said, should we defend ourselves? Should we fight? Jeremiah said, no, just surrender. You have no chance because God decided you'll lose. Just surrender so that there'll be less casualty. So the kings were really upset, thrown in the prison. That's where he wrote Jeremiah 31, 32, 33. Commonly we use Jeremiah 33, verse 8. Call to me and I will give you great and marvelous things. I will answer you with great and marvelous things that you do not understand. He was in the prison. So that's the key. It's a warning. Listen to this. The Lord gave voices before his army, for his camp is very great. Again, referring to verse 1 to 10. The questions of the hour. Most important, most relevant questions for such a time as this. And Prophet Joel talks about both extremes. He said this. For the day of the Lord. Day of the Lord is one of the terms that describe end of the age. what is going to happen at the end of the age. Of course, there are narrow day of the Lord, which is specific one in that specific time frame where Jesus returned. But of course, there is that broad day of the Lord, which is talking about 3.5 years of human history. Okay, say this, for the day of the Lord, that's both extreme, is what? Firstly, what? Great. It's going to be the finest hour of the Church of Jesus Christ. It's going to be great. If we prepare for the day of the Lord, it's going to be great. What's the second extreme? Joel didn't hold back. He said what? Very terrible. If you go to Zephaniah, Zephaniah will say it's dreadful.